is the Go Blue Crew.
Hello and welcome into the Go Blue Crew. I'm Tyler Fenwick with Derek Devine. Derek, all I want in the year 2024 is for one single solitary week to pass where I don't have to check Twitter and wait for that update of Juwan Howard's been fired, or Jim Harbaugh's been fired, or Jim Harbaugh's going to the NFL. That's all I want, 2024. It's not shaping up to be true.
Jim Harbaugh suspended
for something we don't even know about yet. It seems like it's always just on the horizon, like sneaking up on us. It's there. We can't see it quite yet, but here it comes. And it's Juwan Howard's turn. Apparently got into it with strength and conditioning coach John Sanderson. Really popular guy in the program, I'd say, right? Because of Camp Sanderson.
I feel like, yeah, you've been around. I think I saw 15 years now.
From Beeline.
Beeline guy through and through. You keep him on because, you know, he's one of the best strength and conditioning coaches. The classic Camp Sanderson, you know, off-season development. You don't get a lot of love. Ben Herbert gets a lot of love because Michigan football is winning games, right? Maybe John Sanderson's not getting as much love because Michigan basketball is not. You know, maybe there's a lack of development at some certain positions.
It's very weird.
And so maybe the Camp Sanderson thing has worn out, but regardless of that, you know, he's a 15-year guy, a guy who elected to stay on staff, I'm sure would have had a million opportunities elsewhere with the success he was having under Beeline. And yeah, I mean, things get heated. Not all the details are known. You know, it's speculation that it's around Jace Howard, his rehab or recovery. It's a weird situation, and it's not like it was already weird. Like, Juwan Howard is coming off of surgery, has been around the program, is on the sidelines now. Is standing up is almost like the acting head coach without actually, you know, being identified as the acting head coach, to the point where he got kicked out of a game because of it. You know, you can't do head coach things as an assistant coach. And so I don't know what's going on. Hopefully this HR review or whatever standard that they're talking about will, you know, pass by and we can know some more details and maybe know the end result, whether it's he stays or goes, but he's on a, you know, a no BS
exactly
type contract right now. Mm-hmm. And his leash is pretty short, and that's already not a good thing. And so really anything that could, you know, make things even more negative than they were with, you know, not winning basketball games or some of the altercations he's seen either verbally or even physically, not trending in the right direction. And really, either is the team, even though they were coming off.
Yeah, the
of
short of it here, and I'm pulling this from The Athletic. I don't know if there's any other like contradictory or expanded reporting on this, but I think what you basically need to know is that John Sanderson and Juwan Howard get into it, apparently only verbally, no punches thrown or anything like that. But you're right, seem to be about Jace Howard's injury status, why he hasn't been cleared to play. And then John Sanderson files an HR complaint, which, of course, you know, if you work in a job, you know, once you get HR involved, like, stuff is real. So there's a review process, and the backdrop of all this is that Juwan Howard is under a, what do you call it, a no BS policy. The real technical term, I guess, would be no tolerance. But yeah, basically the no BS policy because of him slapping a Wisconsin coach in way back in February of 2022. So
slapping, yeah. I mean, I knew it was slapping. I just sounds so weird.
Because remember initially,
this
blows up, and it's like Juwan Howard assaults or punches, and it's like, I mean, it's not good. Obviously, nobody's going to condone that, but it was a slap. Like an open hand slap, and not even a hard one, really. But anyway,
like a glorified aggressive tap to the
exactly.
face.
Exactly, a glorified tap to.
But even a tap to the face, or even yelling at this point,
yes,
when you're on that, short leash. Like you really can't afford to make those mistakes. And I'm at the point where in a different way of exhaustion, like the, you know, different than the Harbaugh stuff, it's one, it's not paired with winning. And so, you know, there's the SEC where it feels like fans are willing to find out that their team has done whatever, you name it, that breaks laws, bylaws. And then there's Juwan Howard, where you're not winning. You're barely even, like, coaching because you're not the active head coach. You're on a short leash, and it's like, is it best that they part ways? Like, the product hasn't been great for a while.
I know.
Like, what do you do in the situation?
It's kind of sad that that's a legitimate topic. It kind of reminds me of Draymond Green, since he's in the news, suspended indefinitely. I don't think it's risen to that level for Juwan Howard, but sort of the same pattern where it's like there is a demonstrated problem here, and that doesn't even like even the, you know, zero tolerance policy, like it doesn't seem to be a real deterrent. And as much as I like don't want to speculate on somebody's, you know, personal life or anything like that, I mean, it starts to become more obvious, as it has become with Draymond Green and with the Warriors, that like there needs to be something, some kind of help beyond basketball right now. And I mean, if that's the case, hopefully it happens. I don't know if Juwan Howard has had his like come to Jesus moment or if this is enough to get that, but it's clear that whatever Michigan institutionally has been doing, not enough of a deterrent. And yeah, you're right. It's getting to the point where we can really start to talk about is this still working out? Is it still worth it? Or is the Juwan Howard thing kind of over at Michigan? And maybe it's a discussion. I don't even know. You start talking about who would take over and stuff like that. I don't think it's all that important. I think the real thing is like, can you salvage your head coach right now? And in another sense, is it worth it? So I'm sure.
For me, I mean, do you, and tell me if you agree, if they were to move on, I guess they're currently in the best situation they could be. You already have an interim head coach in Phil Martelli that's been coaching for a very long time, has done fine.
Beat Ohio
in that
State
role.
On the road.
You know, the roster is what it is.
For beating Ohio State on the road.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess if you were to make the transition, this is the year to do it. You're way ahead. You know that job is likely opening up and that Phil Martelli will finally retire off into the sunset. Maybe with NCAA championship team. Or not championship,
like,
definitely an NCAA championship team. I'd say no. It would be great if they turned it up like that.
Yeah, okay.
NCAA tournament team. My bad.
You got trusted assistants, too.
Yeah, no, that...
Like, established...
Honestly, they're in a situation where a lot of guys have been around either with John Beilein or came and have been loyal to
in that way.
But yeah, I mean, you could definitely say interim tag stays for the season. You know, maybe Juwan Howard stays on for the season. Maybe he even coaches this season. I mean, there's not a situation that's out of play here. But, you know, could they make an announcement that, hey, yeah, we'll ride it out, or he has to, you know, check, you know, three boxes, you know, personally or professionally, and maybe, you know, in terms of the product on the court, winning basketball. But yeah, I mean, I guess this is it's set up to have the whole staff kind of ride off into the sunset and leave a lot of question marks for sure. But I mean, are you there? Or you feel like, could you wrap your brain around this at this point? Or
I can.
Are you just kind of, for me, this, like, there's no pulse in the program for me. And so it's hard for me to feel strongly one way or the other. You know, a big part of me would love to see Juwan Howard be successful as alma mater. And then the other part's like, hey, he's had his opportunities. The teams have not performed that well in the last 2 years. And then there's the, you know, not only the on the court stuff, but now apparently off the court. And both of those not,
it is
not a great
remarkably
thing.
Similar to, I think, what's happening with the football program. You have two head coaches, beloved in their playing days, coming back to their alma mater, coaching them up to a great deal of success. Juwan Howard has done that. Jim Harbaugh is in the middle of doing that. And as drama starts to come in from the outside, you start to think, man, is this thing really over? And then hold on, and this is my thinking anyway, they have both built up, or in Juwan Howard's case, more like retained, a really good support staff of assistant coaches, to the point where, you know, if Jim Harbaugh leaves, I'm confident that Sharon Moore, for example, you know, is a good candidate to get that head coaching job. And he's not the only one. Same thing on the basketball side. Seti Washington, you're confident that, like, that's a potential head coach candidate right there. Not that I want to say it should work out like that, but it just, I have a level of like comfort or ease with all the crap going on. There's at least like stability in the program to where I don't think it's catastrophic if you lose your head coach or have to move on.
One of the things that I think about too is, I mean, it's hard to be a successful player and then be a successful coach at your alma mater, and like a Jim Harbaugh, people are ready to give up on him. But you think of guys like Patrick Ewing, who, you know, did not work out as a coach, Juwan Howard, who may or may not work out. You know, Jerry Stackhouse went back to an alma mater. You've got Penny Hardaway trying to do things with Memphis. It's tough, and there hasn't been a great track record of, you know, I guess basically star players going back to their alma mater and coaching. And maybe it's just hard to do. Maybe there's too many things involved, too many emotions involved. Obviously, Juwan Howard, a very emotional guy from all ends, you know, even that first introductory press conference, you know, obviously really in his feels, you know, just couldn't believe that he had the opportunity. And because he is a player's coach and will go to, you know, bat for his guys, he'll quite literally fight yes. for his guys. And he's obviously gonna, and I don't mean that to be funny, but it kind of is. And obviously now you're talking family, you know, having a son on your team, two sons last year, having a dad as a coach. I mean, at a high school level, I had my dad as a teacher and as a coach. And, you know, it's a different relationship because you've got to do the player coach thing, but you can't get away from the father son thing. And absolutely. I mean, maybe not physically. Honestly, in a church basketball league is probably when he got the most into it with a ref on my behalf, probably on his behalf too.
Yeah.
Good story for another
Bank
time.
That.
Maybe get permission to share it. But yeah, I mean, if John Sanderson saying, "Hey, I don't think Jace is taking this seriously," whatever it may be, all speculation, of course. I mean, Juwan Howard, of course, is going to go to bat for his son. But you're the head coach, and that's one of your assistants, right? And so that's where there's a professional line that's always going to be drawn. And Juwan Howard has been tiptoeing around it for a long time, and he's passed it, you know, more than once. And yeah, it's tough. Hopefully they can find some, you know, positive on the court. I think going and beating Iowa the way that they beat Iowa was a good sign. Now there's a lot of, you know, meaningful games left to play, you know, all of the conference season basically. And I think of the Jordan tournament again this year. And so you've got your opportunities to win some basketball games, and the Big Ten looks horrible. Outside of a couple of teams, I think Northwestern finally got ranked and lost to the worst ranked
Chicago
team
State, right?
Division One, Chicago State. So you have an opportunity, and so yeah, national championship. I misspoke. Probably not in the cards.
Never
but,
know.
You know, play in the top four or five of your conference all season consistently, you're likely to get a bid. So with or without Juwan Howard, I guess we'll find out. We'll probably find out as soon as we hit stop recording, and this show will be
totally irrelevant. It won't matter anymore. I don't know.
My last thought is kind of what your first thought was. Like, what in the world?
Give me a
like,
week.
Give us a week.
Seven. I'll take a work week. Give me a 5-day stretch where I'm not trying to get something done for my job and also like eyeing Twitter because Juwan Howard's trending.
Give me give me, you know, like, you know, work calendars, Outlook specifically, I'm thinking of in my case, you get like the 3-day view. So you can go 3 days at a time. Give me a 3-day period where I don't have to hear anything or find out something new or another speculation.
I like how we crunched that. Curious. We crunched that 3-day from period. 7 to 5 to 3. Tells you where we are. My last thought, going back to the John Sanderson part of this, it's my assumption that John Sanderson did not do this on a whim. I mean, like I said, HR is real. You know, once you do that, you've escalated the situation. And it's not like John Sanderson doesn't know about Juwan Howard's situation, the no BS clause in the contract, you know. I mean, I don't want to go beyond that, but I think it's notable that, like, a member of your staff, knowing your situation, still thought it was, you know, worth taking to HR, understanding what the ramifications were. Okay.
Two things coming to mind with that. One, it depends on who else was around, right? And so as somebody involved in the, you know, the two-party situation, it seemed, you go report yourself before somebody else does, so you get to tell your side of the story. Or two, it could lead you to believe that it was obviously very threatening, even if it was verbally. And maybe it was more of, you know, you say things you don't actually mean, but in the heat of the moment, you say some very vulgar things or personal things. But yeah, I mean, it's either there were enough people that were around that someone had to report it, and so he took it into his own hands, or, you know, he legitimately was like, hey, I got to do what you would do in any normal job and report this, as that was totally inappropriate. So either not good. And like you said, once HR is involved, it's more than hey, HR is going to handle this. We've heard, you know, from both. It's like, no, he took this to HR as a report. And that tells you.
Well, I remember, I mean, serious, you have HR experience because you told that inappropriate joke about women at work, right?
Yeah, I had to reenact, you know, one of those really bad acting sexual harassment things. Yeah, the company put me to task, and I had to, you know, act as the sexual harasser. Yeah.
Very. You want to talk about on the court stuff?
Yeah, one game has looked impressive. A couple of other moments have looked impressive, and a snoozer.
So yeah, Michigan goes and beats Iowa 90-80. Pretty impressive. You knew it was going to be high scoring, and Michigan gets the job done on the road in a 10-point game. They've obviously really struggled to close out close games, even when they're playing with, you know, better competition. Oregon comes to mind, losing on the day of the Big Ten championship game in overtime, 86-83, and then you turn around and lose by 3 to Indiana. Now you have Eastern Michigan, and I called this, if you remember, this must have been maybe 3 weeks ago. I said, like a weird Saturday afternoon game against Eastern Michigan, that's a loss. I called it, and I'm sticking to it. Do you think I'm crazy?
No, I don't think you're crazy, because if there's one thing I know about Michigan basketball in the last few seasons, is they almost always play to the level of their opponents. And if a game is close, even if they have a late lead, they struggle. You know, there's so many games last year where they were in the running against really solid top teams, teams that performed in the NCAA tournament. And then they were in games with teams that they had that really had no business hanging around the talent that Michigan had last year. And they lost, you know, the majority of them. Yeah, so you play to the level of your opponent this weekend, and it's close. It's not a team that can close out games or put a team away. But if you can, you know, put your foot on the pedal, get yourself a lead, and, you know, not necessarily coast, but preserve that lead going into the second half and hopefully throughout the second half, then, you know, this is a team Michigan should beat, especially if, you know, any one of, you know, 3 guys has a good night. And so hopefully a loss will not be the case, but not really a bold prediction, unfortunately. Like, I'd love to be like, man, that's really bold. Like, if you hit on that, that's insane. Like, it's not bold at all, because it's very,
you know, realistic. Not to take this back to the John Sanderson stuff, but I think it's worth noting that we said beginning of the season, early part of the season, that one of Michigan's biggest obstacles right now is guard depth. And Jalen Llewellyn not 100% back and was a non-participant against Iowa. And now your strength and conditioning coach and your head coach are going at it. And John Sanderson, I don't know if we can even like go find his work status if that's been reported. But The Athletic at least said he didn't appear for work on December 8th. And obviously he hasn't. He didn't travel with the team for that Iowa game. I mean, that's a damning connection right there. You got a point guard who you really desperately need to come back and get healthy, and your strength and conditioning coach may or may not be working right now, right?
Well, and on top of that, think about what this is apparently all about, which is true. Jace Howard's status. An injured player trying to return to the court. And so, yeah, spot on. You know, this is a guy who is going to be really important with player rehab and, you know, the strength and redevelopment of, you know, the key things they need to not only be successful on the court, but stay healthy on the court. And there's, you know, athletic training staff and a bunch of other player personnel that, you know, they'll be able to go to for things. But, you know, this is a main guy, a staple in the program, and has been for 15 years of working players not only back into a rotation, but keeping them healthy and strong to, you know, allow their bodies to make it through a very grueling conference season. You know, the Big Ten teams have always beat up on each other, even in the down years. And so you've got to be in shape and you've got to be healthy to survive the Big Ten season. And yeah, John Sanderson is a huge important role in that. And so his status being unknown, and again, we'll get details sooner than later, I'm sure. But between him hanging it up and wanting to move on, or Michigan moving away from Juwan Howard, or maybe the plan or option C where things get settled and we move forward. But it seems like something is more likely to happen than not. And yeah, Jalen Llewellyn would be crucial to the guard depth. He's only had a couple of flashy moments in his very limited play, but more than anything, you know, Doug McDaniel will not have it going every single night from the point guard position, especially as a scorer. So you're gonna have to have somebody who spells him, whether it's, you know, his energy later in the season, foul trouble, or just putting up a lot of shots that aren't falling. And Jalen Llewellyn is a guy who could easily come in, put up some solid minutes, and even play well alongside Doug McDaniel too. So hopefully he'll be back sooner than later. A good tease to get him back, but sad to see him, you know, kind of fade back off the court at least temporarily, because, you know, more than anything, he came back to play some solid.
The most important thing he can do is come into the game and handle the ball. Like, when Doug McDaniel exits the game, I think we all tense up and it's like, okay, who's distributing the ball? How is this offense going to work? Jalen Llewellyn, if he can come in and literally just do that, that's great. Something positive that we should definitely talk about for a minute is Terrence Williams, who really, really struggled last year. And now he comes in, he's third on the team in points per game. He's shooting 40% from behind the arc. I know there's times, at least for me, where I think he's trying to do a little too much. But that's mostly with one-on-one playmaking. You know, I get a little nervous when I see him put the ball on the floor and try to take somebody off the dribble, or if he's bringing it up in transition, that kind of thing. But just in the normal flow of the offense, it's really nice that he's become a weapon, and he's played really well. And that was not the case last year. So just good for him, you know, kind of getting things turned around at least early.
I think his role feels a little bit more defined this season too, even though he's been starting for a bit now. You know, I know he's not the star player. He's not going to be your go-to guy. And so you feel like he's, you know, getting that sense of, you know, I know my role and I know how to do my role well. And as long as you do that consistently, it's going to be great for the team. The moment you try to do too much, Olivier Kamwa does that a lot. I think obviously still settling into what his role is. He has nights where he looks unguardable and he's a lockdown defender. And then he has nights where he can do a little bit too much because, you know, his role isn't truly defined. He wants to be a playmaker. Michigan wants him to be a playmaker on the block and from three, but it looks a little unorganized when a guy plays outside of the role. And that's where it's really noticeable with Terrence Williams, plus paired with a not a very good season last year. But overall, he fits a lot better with what Michigan's doing offensively. I think he's improved as a defender, and obviously his shooting numbers are up, which has to do, you know, wonders for his confidence. You know, I think a lot of people probably wouldn't have been surprised if, you know, this year didn't include Terrence Williams.
You're right.
You know, maybe he would have elected to transfer. But he, you know, there was an interview I think he did over the summer and felt like it, you know, it seemed like he was saying his head was in the right place and felt confident going into the season. And he's looked like, you know, more of sophomore Terrence Williams that was coming in and hitting down some big knockdown shots. And so more than anything, you know, a guy like that's got to be a leader, a guy who's been around, especially, and, you know, we'll keep going back to the main talking point that is Michigan basketball right now, especially, you know, amidst controversy. You know, that's one of the things that I think a lot of people gave credit to the players for this Michigan football season, but no one more than Jim Harbaugh and Sharon Moore beyond coach speak of, it really took leaders like a Blake Corum, a Zach Zinter, a Trevor Keegan, you know, and several others, of course, Mike Sanders still on the defensive side, to keep everybody, you know, as a collective group looking to achieve the goal that is in front of them now in a national championship. And so a guy like Terrence Williams for the basketball team, who's been around, you know, his whole career, obviously has a huge role to play when it comes to keeping this team together.
Last thing before we go, I want to get your take on Terrace Reed Jr. because so far the Terrace Reed experience is exactly what I thought it would be. It's a lot of flash. It's a lot of, oh my God, like he's one of a handful of guys maybe in the country who can like make that play, especially defensively. And then you have times, and I can't remember, this may have been in the most recent game against Iowa, could have been against IU too, but he's on help side defense, and you know what that means. Like, he is ready to come block your shot. He's ready to come out of nowhere, pin that thing on the backboard. And so guy gives a pump fake, and Terrace Reed is the help defender, weak side defender, jumps. Now he's crazy out of position. It's an easy dish to the guy he's left open, easy bucket. That to me summarized, like, okay, you're going to have to live with some of that stuff with Terrace Reed Jr. because you know what he brings you defensively. It's a lot of athleticism. It's some brute strength down there. That's the kind of thing you're just going to have to be like, you know what? We may just have to live with that. But what are you making of his game so far?
I think he's struggled a little bit to adjust to the amount of minutes. You know, you go from being Hunter Dickinson's backup, who's going to be on the court until he literally cannot breathe. And now you're only playing, I think I just looked, 22 minutes a game or something
yeah,
like that. I clicked
7.
Off of it. What I wanted to look at was, I know he had a big game. I couldn't remember the exact point total, but 19, that's his probably most complete game so far. And that's the Terrace Reed you want to see more of moving forward, because there are things, like you said, he can do that a lot of guys can't do. And so a complete Terrace Reed Jr., really outside of free throw shooting, I don't know that we'll see that improve this season. He's really struggled from the line in back-to-back years now. But that's a guy who can make an impact on both ends of the floor, and hopefully for him to have a bigger game, you know, finally this season will be something that really moves him forward this season, because he's been quiet. You know, there's a game where Michigan has a chance to beat a good Oregon team on the road, and Terrace Reed Jr. was just not existent offensively. And it's really hard to have a guy who can make a big impact not really do anything in terms of putting points up on the board. And so he's a fun player to watch, but he looks like, in a way, he's a freshman starter because he is a, you know, he's a first year starter in his second season. I think obviously developmentally, he learned a lot playing behind Hunter Dickinson. But they're very different players. And so at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to make you better in your role is to play your role on the court in as many minutes as you can see fit and stay out of foul trouble. So more from him for sure, but Michigan really is in need of some consistent performance from a big, and no one better than Terrace Reed to make that jump as Big Ten continues to.
All right. Well, next week, maybe, I guess I should give the caveat that I'm going to the hospital probably soon for my wife to have a baby. So
big news.
This just in. I started to say next week we'll get back and talk. And then I was like, well, maybe, I don't know.
Maybe I might have to go solo. I've gone solo in my absence.
I think I go about 10 minutes and then I run out of stuff to say and I hang it up. But
well, if you break it down, we usually speak about 15 minutes apiece. So it makes a lot of sense. You know, 10 minutes of your own stuff and then the sadness that just can't get you to the finish line. So I understand that. I'll be here in your absence.
What are you going
to
talk about?
No matter what, I do not have a kid on the horizon. I hope not, Juwan Howard. Situation,
maybe,
or
just
Jim
like
Harbaugh
a
situation,
playoff kind of thing,
but leave it up to you being out, you know, having a beautiful kid enter the world, and I've got to talk about Jim Harbaugh moving on to the NFL and Juwan Howard no longer being with the program. I mean, imagine that scenario.
I'll phone in from the delivery room at that point.
Yeah, I do think Riverside has an app, so I need like 30 seconds of just. That's going to be a lot to handle if that happens. So.
Mentally, I don't know.
But neither of those things will happen soon or especially next week when you're likely to be
surely they won't. All that to say, maybe I'll be here next week, maybe I won't. Sounds like if not, you know, Derek will hold things down and talk about glorious, happy things like the college football playoff. But hang around.
I mean, you're gonna be spotty for a while here. I think any father in the chat or listening would know that. And my only ask, Tyler, is that if Michigan wins a national championship, even if fatherhood is the craziest thing, and you don't feel like you've got 30 seconds to think about anything,
okay,
I've got to have you pull through. You pull through for a national championship.
That would never not happen. Yeah, you got it.
Okay. I mean, because that's going to be a 3-hour special. So, and it's going to feature barking, whining dogs and crying babies, and that's all the more beautiful.
It'll just be our happy little family celebrating with us. That's all. That's how we'll think of it. But anyway, I guess I'll catch you whenever I catch you, and Derek will be your staple, you know, the rock of the pod. That's what we'll call him if things get a little twisted up for me. But anyway, take care out there and go blue.
Go blue.